Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have a split program, meaning the first half, we'll be talking about one subject, and the second half, a different one. Lots of things happening in our community. In the first half of the program, we'll be talking about the brand new Astoria Warming Center. And to talk about that with us today, we have Drew Herzig. Drew is a member of the Astoria City Council. Hello, Drew.
Hi, Donna.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
We also have Karen Temple. Karen is a community volunteer on many fronts, and the community is richer for her actions here.
Hello,
Karen.
Good morning.
And we're also going to bring into the program Terry Wilson, our own engineer extraordinaire, because he had quite a little interesting role to play in this Astoria Warming Center. Hi, Terry.
Hello there.
So before we begin, well, actually, you know what, since we have just a short time, I think we're going to just focus right on the Warming Center, because a lot of people already know, I think, who you are. Usually I like to have our guests tell a little bit about themselves. But the Astoria Warming Center, first of all, Karen, maybe you explain what it is, and then we'll talk about how did that come to be, and we'll ask Terry that.
Yeah, it's a place where homeless people can go during cold nights, temperatures below 35, to be out of the weather. And it will be open from 8 to 8 on such nights that will be notified publicly in the appropriate channels. And there will be three shifts of volunteers during that time to take care of them.
All right. So it is a center for those who do not have heat, and typically that is the homeless population.
Right.
And let's ask Terry Wilson. Terry, how did this warming center come to be?
Well, I think it was January, maybe it was February. I don't know. We had two cold snaps last year. And here at the radio station, we kept reading about Tillamook was opening their warming shelter, and there was no mention about Astoria. And my wife, Barbara, knew about this, and she got incensed, and she started bending my ear. Now, at that time, I was attending all the city council meetings as a reporter. I was recording them for the news department. And the reporter normally doesn't become part of the story, but at the end of every city council meeting, there is a general, everybody can stand up and talk. I stood up, and I walked up to the podium, and I looked at the city council, and I says, "I'm ashamed of you, and I'm ashamed of Astoria. Where are the warming shelters? It's 30, whatever it was, degrees outside." And that's how it got started.
Wow, Terry. All right. And then after you and Barbara really raised the flag and said, hey, here's something we need to think about doing, then Drew and Karen, you got involved. And what happened from that point on then?
Well, I took Terry very seriously. I got on the council goal-setting meetings in early 2014. I got the goal of supporting community efforts to open a warming center here in Astoria. So it is a council goal to support community efforts. I spent most of the year thinking, where are we going to do this? The Astoria Senior Center is closed temporarily for renovation. The renovation was supposed to start this year, but it was delayed until next year. I realized that there was a large downtown building sitting empty all winter long. I approached the senior center, Larry Miller. I said, "What do you think of this idea?" Larry said, "I think we can do this." And then people started coming on board. We started encountering a number of roadblocks and hurdles, but we've cleared all of those, and we've got a facility only for this year. Next year, we'll have to find a new location. But for this year, we've met all the city requirements. We are approved. We are ready to open when the temperature falls below 35 degrees.
And there's a need for this, and here's what's amazing. Please tell our listening audience, Drew, how many nights the temperature fell below 35 degrees last year, I think.
Last year, it fell below 35 degrees over 70 nights. We found out Tiffany Brown is the Clatsop County Emergency Manager. She was an invaluable ally on this project. She spent her own time helping us create an operating manual and doing research when we were talking about what's our temperature set going to be. We thought, 35 degrees, that's only happens a few nights in these wonderful temperate Astoria winters. She went back and found out that last year, an unusually cold year, we had 70 nights where the temperature dropped to 35 degrees. We were all shocked by that. So that shows how much this is needed.
Yes, and I think there's a perception in this community that We don't have a large homeless population because you don't see them. I mean, they're in the forest or they're living in, you know, places where they're really, you just don't run into them on a regular basis. And that it is a temperate climate. And so, gosh, a warming center, how would that be needed? However, there is a homeless population. It's significant. Karen, do you want to address that?
Yeah, I spoke to Viviana from CCA, Clatsop Community Action, just the other day. And the definition homeless is quite flexible. You can include the ones who are couch surfing and all those things. But for truly homeless, she has about a count of 500. That probably includes people who are sleeping in cars, but there are a lot of people sleeping in the tunnels and under the sidewalks in Astoria, in the forest, there are camps and so on and so forth. So it is significant. My small exposure to it is that for years I've been doing one day of the food pantry at Grace Episcopal Church, and there has been an increased presence. So just by anecdotal statistics of my own weekly experience, the homeless population has grown. And my motivation also came from KMUN in that I heard these announcements all last winter, and I thought, we need this. And I've been casting about all summer and early fall until finally I realized that Drew was passionately involved in the same cause. And so I was sort of thinking maybe the churches would take it on or whatever. But then we got together and formed this little alliance with Larry Allen from the Senior Center and pushed it through.
It's really just the three of you then who have really, I mean, Terry and Barbara again came out and said, send in the cavalry. We got to do something. And then the three of you, Larry from the Senior Center, and you all created this this plan for the warming center, which is about to open when we have our next temperature falling below 35 degrees. And so, but right now you could use some volunteers.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk a little bit about it. You already had one training session. And you're going
Sunday
to
a week
one,
ago.
Sunday a week ago, and you're having another training session tomorrow night at the Senior Center.
Yes, at 6:30, and that's 1111 Exchange Street. It's the old Senior Center, which is the new Astoria Warming Center for this winter only kind of thing. And anybody who's interested in just seeing what the Warming Center might be like is invited. It's an open house and also a training. So we want people to come and take a look at what has been created there. And I have to say, Larry Allen, Karen Temple, and myself, but we've had a lot of help from other agencies and individuals. This is a community endeavor here. It's been fantastic. So we encourage anyone who's just interested, even in the concept of a warming center, come down tomorrow night, 6:30, take a look around, get the tour. And if you are interested in being trained as a volunteer, because we have to have people up all night long. It's not going to be all night only, 4-hour shifts, but we need to have three people for each 4-hour shift from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. on every night that the center is open.
And it sounds like, from what you and I talked about previously too, Karen, these warming centers are really becoming more and more of a need as we have more homeless.
Absolutely.
As, you know, yeah. I mean, this is something. So right now, not that Astoria's, Tillamook maybe, whether that's cutting edge or whether it's like, hey, here's a need, we're going to begin to see more of this.
And I think the community is really aware of it, because the response has just been incredible in terms of financial donations and stuff. I mean, you should come and see our sleeping bags and blanket supplies and on and on, fill in the blanks.
That is wonderful.
And for that first training session Sunday a week ago, there were almost 70 people there, and most of them were older, compassionate, courageous women.
Oh, that is fabulous. Okay, compassionate, courageous women who showed up for training.
Yes.
And now tomorrow night, there's an opportunity for more people to come and be trained. And you're talking about three shifts per night, so it's only a 4-hour shift.
Exactly.
So it's like 8 to midnight, midnight to 4, 4 to 8.
Exactly.
What does the training involve?
Learning how to deal with the homeless people and to making sure that they are safe and comfortable and the volunteers are safe and comfortable. So it's basically what to expect, how to make people welcome. We are calling them our guests. We are going to be the host. They will be our guests. We make sure that they are comfortable, that they are prepared to cope with the situation, that the volunteers know what to do. If anything happens, any kind of emergency, they know what the context, what the procedure is, how to evacuate in case there's a fire drill. Just the basic operations. If you had an overnight sleeping party, just how would you want to make sure that you're prepared to deal with that.
Exactly. Hygiene, safety.
Yeah, of course.
All those kinds of issues.
And so the training that happens tomorrow night at 6:30 at the Senior Center, it's an open house, but is the training going to actually happen then, or do you just sign up for the training? It is. So it's really just a one evening kind of training thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So it's not a rigorous kind of, you have to go for weeks or whatever.
It's pretty rudimentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So people can come tomorrow night to the Astoria Senior Center, which is downtown. It's at 1111 Exchange, which is the corner of 11th and Exchange in downtown Astoria. And then, and because more volunteers are needed to break up these shifts. And also, the word, you're going to get the word out. The homeless population has been asking for this for when it gets so cold. And you also will be able to take their pets.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. We feel that for homeless people, if they have a pet, that's an important part of their well-being, and we would not wish to separate them. If the pet can sleep with them, we will create a separate pet area kind of thing. We have carriers donated so that if the pet is a little bit restless, that we can still have the owner and the pet together, but the pet will be in a carrier. So we're trying to provide to make it as comforting and accessible as we were talking about having a low bar. We want to make sure that nobody need die of exposure in Astoria this winter. That's our goal.
And you are passionate, Karin, because you have seen the need for this, and you feel that that this is a way that volunteers can come and give back to a population which is at risk for exposure, like you talked about, in cold temperatures.
Yeah, I feel not very gratified in my comfortable warm bed at night, but last winter particularly, during those long cold spells, thinking of who's out there. And probably I should also mention, if more monetary donations are coming forth, they have to go through Grace Episcopal Church.
All right.
That's the account that has been made available to us very generously from the church.
And those donations are tax deductible.
Because of that.
Yes. Okay. So the Astoria Warming Center is taking donations. It is offering this wonderful training program opportunity tomorrow night, and we just got a call from a listener who said, please request that with some younger people take the training.
Yes.
Show up tomorrow night, younger people, because it's great that we have those older, compassionate, courageous women, but they can't do it all alone.
And ideally, there should be a mix, a woman, a man.
Yes, absolutely. There should be a mix, absolutely. And I think young people as well, because, you know, we need to understand that the world is not just in our little bubble. I mean, there are so many things outside that world. And if people have questions, then they can call you, Drew. They can call you, Karin. Why don't you give your phone numbers, please?
My phone number is 503-325-1895. That's 325-1895.
And mine is 325-6580.
All right. And I will leave those numbers here at the station in case you need them. But again, congratulations. I know it took a while to make this happen. Terry, congratulations to you and Barbara. And there's a need for this. This is now going to happen. I don't know the weather. I guess probably your first night will be in the pretty near future, I would think.
Maybe Christmas Eve.
Uh-oh, when the temperatures fall below 35 degrees and 70 nights.
Yes, and we will have a 24-hour notice. We will be looking at the weather forecast. So it's, say, if the temperature is predicted to drop tomorrow night, we will announce today that the center will be opening tomorrow night and our volunteers. So everybody will always have a 24-hour notice on our operation. We don't want to spring this on anybody. We really want the community to be aware, fully informed, and supportive.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And then, of course, you're working with all these Classic Community Action, all the agencies, the fire, police, all of that. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone is really grateful.
I also want to thank Tiffany Brown again, who put in not only her paid time, but her own pro bono time. She's been very, very helpful. And also Allison from the Harbor, I forgot her last name.
Koffenberger.
She has done the first volunteer training and has helped us enormously.
Yes, and Willie Benz from the Red Cross will be part of tomorrow night's training. So we're really getting support from all sorts of community
agencies.
Organizations. Another call has come in. Oh, Larry Allen, one of our organizers, says, please check out the Astoria Warming Center on Facebook.
Oh dear.
Yes, we've had...
That wouldn't be my call.
Yeah, in the first week we were up, we had got over 400 likes. I've never felt so much like Sally Field in my life kind of thing.
Oh, but, my God.
So Astoria Warming Center on Facebook. Lots of good information
there. All right. So here's a way to give back to the community. You can come tomorrow night, 6:30, Astoria Senior Center. Learn what the Astoria Warming Center is all about, and then and take a shift.
Hit me up on the street anytime. Yeah. I'm full of information.
Karen and Drew, this is and so Terry, now you and Barbara and all of you must be very proud that this is happening with the blessings of the
city
council. Yes, and so you'll learn after the first one. But thank you so much for making our community a better place to live for everyone.
Thank you for letting us talk about
it. Thank
you.
Thank you again so much. Okay, Terry, so we're going to take a quick little break now and let Karen and Drew move on to other things that they're doing, and we will bring in Rosemary Baker Monahan. Do you want to play a music for a second while we do the little dance here? Hi, I'm Donna Quinn, and you're listening to Talk of Our Towns on 91.9 KMUN Astoria Coast Community Radio. The first half of the program, we talked about the brand new Astoria Warming Center, and this last half of the program, we'll be talking about the jewel of downtown, the Astoria Liberty Theater. And here in the studio, I have the executive director, Rosemary Baker Monahan. Hi, Rose.
Good morning.
Very happy to have you here today because you have some fun things to talk about.
We do. We always have fun things to talk about at the Liberty Theater. But we in particular right now are working on a home tour this Sunday. It's the first time we've done anything like that. It's a fundraiser for the Liberty Theater, of course. It's on the Long Beach Peninsula. One of my new board members is from, two of my new board members are from over there. And so there's six beautiful homes, some of them on the water, some of them near the water. Just, you can imagine, just wonderful homes. A wide variety from Nantucket in Seaview to the Shelburne Inn is actually part of the tour. So it'll go from all the way up the peninsula, from one end to the other. And so the Shelburne Inn is about in the middle, so you can start at either end. Actually, you can start wherever you'd like. But I recommend if you start at either end, then you can stop at the Shelburne Inn. They're also offering a no-host tea. So you can do part of the tour, stop and have a little tea, and they have a program about Jane Austen, and then continue the tour. It should be really fun.
And that's happening this Sunday.
Sunday.
And what time is that happening?
From 10 until 6.
You have all day to go over. What a great family outing to see how people decorate. People love to go into other people's homes and see how they decorate for Christmas.
And they're beautiful. Each one is the personality of the homeowner, how they've decorated, and it's just going to be lovely.
How do people get tickets for this?
Tickets at the Liberty Box Office, tickets at the Bank of the Pacific locations throughout Clatsop County and on the peninsula as well. Now, on Saturday, the bank will be closed, of course, and Sunday. So the Liberty Box Office is your place then to get tickets. And we're going to have extra hours. We'll be open from 9 in the morning until 5:30 on Saturday, and 9 in the morning until noon on Sunday, so you can get your tickets.
And then when you get your tickets, so you need to buy your tickets in advance so you know where to go, because then you get a map, right?
You get the addresses and the map. We didn't publish the addresses at the request of the homeowners. You have to buy the ticket and then be able to go.
Okay. So you can buy your tickets at the Liberty Theater box office and get the map. And what I think about this is just what a great way to have a fun family outing, or take your mother, your grandmother, your neighbor, and you get to do something that is festive for the holidays, that does not involve buying things, it involves supporting the Liberty Theater, which really this entire region cherishes. And you get to have a fun outing at the same time. I mean, that's just a win-win.
Each of the homes will have music. Each of the homes will have a vendor there. So you can do a little bit of shopping for Christmas while you're in the homes.
Oh, well, that's good, too. Okay.
Each of the homes will have 5 pieces of art that the Boys and Girls Club children have painted. We asked them to render artistically their impression of theater, music, and dance as it relates to the holidays. And there'll be a silent auction in each home on those pieces of art, and the money from that will go to the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's okay. So, and I don't mean to disparage buying things, because truly, shopping locally is very important. So I hope everyone is shopping locally as much as possible this Christmas.
Yeah.
And so there will be an opportunity, and you can support the Liberty Theater, and you can also find some unusual things at these homes.
Plus, you can just have a fun afternoon with your family.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Great. So we've learned about that, and then we have another something fabulous coming up.
We do. Next week on Saturday, the Liberty usually does a Christmas show. It's usually the last Saturday before Christmas. I always feel like by then most of everyone has their Christmas shopping done, hopefully, except for me. I never do. that they can just then sit back and enjoy the time between then and Christmas. So I always like to have a concert where it's just kind of a big community hug. You can come in and see everybody and enjoy the music and just have a nice evening. This year we're doing it together with North Coast Symphonic Band because they've been doing the same thing. They've been having a Christmas concert. And so this year we just thought, well, why don't we just do this together? And we are. So it's next Saturday at 4 o'clock. We did a matinee.
Which is Saturday, December 20th.
Correct. And so we'll have Dave Becker is the artistic director from North Coast Symphonic Band. So we're having North Coast Symphonic Band. We're having Cannon Beach Chorus, the North Coast Chorale, the Astoria Tuba Quartet, the Northern Lights Flute Ensemble, and then we're also having Jenny and Keith Butenchen as solo artists. So it's just going to be a great festive celebration of the music of the holiday season, not just Christmas, holiday season. There'll be some classical Christmas. There'll be some Christmas classics, things like that. And, you know,
this is the blowout all-time fabulous Christmas concert on Saturday the 20th. And then how do people, is that family friendly? Would you say bring the kids, bring everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
There'll be a visit from the jolly old elf himself. Yeah,
all
a few
right.
surprises. Yeah, it'll be fun. There'll be a chance to sing along to a song or two.
And
it's just
going
to be fun.
What is there just one show? Or
one show at 4 o'clock.
One show. Okay, 4 o'clock on Saturday the 20th, and that's the holiday extravaganza.
And we're all decorated up for the holidays, so you can see the Liberty Theater all dressed up for Christmas.
Oh, good. And you know, sometimes really young children love to get dressed up, you know, the velvet dresses and the little bow ties and things. It's great.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a great show.
And how do people get tickets?
Liberty Box Office.
All right. Yep. Liberty Box
yep,
Office.
Yep, yep.
Which is open when to when?
Well, except for this weekend where we'll have extended hours. It's normally open from 2 to 5:30 Tuesday through Saturday, and then 2 hours before a performance.
Okay. So hopefully you can get your tickets in advance for this concert on the 20th.
Yes, please.
If you miss it, if you miss doing that, because it's going to be a very popular thing, I think, here.
I hope so. I hope we fill the house. It's always nice to see everyone at Christmas time.
And you can get tickets 2 hours before at the box office. And overall, how is the Liberty doing? I mean, of course, the Liberty is, I think, so well known with performers because for the acoustics, for just the restoration. It's just magnificent. It's an incredible building here on the Oregon coast. What's the future like? How are things going?
Things are going well. One of the things that's just astounding to me, next year in 2015, we're 90 years old because we were built in 1925. So we're going to celebrate our 90th birthday. But it's also 10 years since our grand reopening. Can you believe it? 10 years in 2015 since we did the first two phases of our restoration and opened up for business. That is astounding to me that it's been 10 years already. So next year we're kind of celebrating our 90-20 or 90-10.
90-10.
90-10.
Okay.
So, normally we book a season from September to May. This year we've been having a few events this fall, including this Christmas concert. But we're going to package 2015 together in celebration of our 90th year. So it's a little bit different than how we've been doing things. So we have a kickoff event on January 24th. It's going to include an open house for a couple hours, because there's always, at every event, there's someone who comes in and asks for directions to the restroom, which tells me they haven't been in the theater since we opened, which is astounding to me as well. So we're going to have an open house. So if you haven't been in and you haven't seen the theater, that you can come and do that. And then we're going to have a special dinner ticket for the McTavish Room ahead of time, and then we're going to have a concert. So you can come to the dinner and the concert, or you can just get tickets to the concert.
You know, and I think, Rose, actually, a lot of people may not be aware that the Liberty is, you have the magnificent theater, of course. You also have the McTavish Room, which is elegant and beautiful, and that's for, you have a lot of weddings there. You have a lot of meetings and functions there.
Proms and conferences and town
exactly.
hall meetings.
Exactly, and yeah. Now because you have the new Paulson Pavilion, that also has other spaces.
Right. The Paulson Pavilion is similar in size to the McTavish Room, but it's divisible into three. So we can divide it into three studios or three small meeting rooms. And regularly, the Astoria School of Ballet has their classes up there. They lease one of the two offices we created on the second floor.
So the Liberty is busy. It's really kind of morning, noon, and night. I mean, in a way.
We do 178 event days a year, which is something every other day, but it's not every other day. It's usually clumped together. And there's sometimes three things on the same day. So we're really busy. Yeah,
right.
It's great.
And, of course, the Liberty is a 501c3. Again, what a great way to contribute is by going to the home tour on the Long Beach Peninsula. But but you are supported by this community. And you have a few fundraisers every year. But
We do. We're going to do Art a la Carte again this year. And we're going to have the Lady Liberty fundraiser. And We by operating the building and with our commercial tenants, we raise about 80% of our operational budget that way. So we do have a fundraising need of about 20%. But as theaters go, we're doing exceptionally well. The Oregon Arts Commission, I was telling that information to last week, and he said most theaters bring in 30 to 50% of what they need. So we're way ahead of the game.
That's great. Yeah. And it does. I mean, in order, we've just been talking about the warming center. You have to heat the Liberty, too.
That's
expensive. That's a beautiful, big, old building. So
maintaining it and operating it.
Absolutely.
Now.
So again, all right, we just have another minute or two left here. So, Rose, anything else you'd like people to know about the Liberty or about this wonderful upcoming opportunity to do the Long Beach Peninsula Home Tour?
Well, I hope you'll join us for the tour. I hope you'll come for the concert and come to all of our events next year. And I just want to take a moment to thank the community, because really the community is who saved this theater and who has restored it. And all of our wonderful volunteers who help at every event, for cruise ships, for concerts, for proms, for some of the things that aren't quite as exciting from an usher standpoint as a concert. We just are so grateful, and they're the reason why we can do what we do.
And really, actually, I think the Liberty Theater is an economic driver here. I mean, there are, whether it's the Astoria Music Festival, people come, they hear about it, whether it's in Portland or Seattle or wherever, and they hear, and they want to go to something at the Liberty Theater. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Rose, for all the hard work that you do, and see you at the concert, at the home tour. Lots of things to look forward to, and you can go onto the Liberty Theater website, and I bet you have all that information there too.
Yes, Liberty Theater, liberty-theater.org.
Okay, thank you so much, Rose,
thank
for
you.
Everything. And Terry Wilson, I want to express my appreciation to you and to Barbara. Thank you so much for being here and being the incredible engineer you are and human being. And again, I also want to encourage people during this holiday season to shop locally and think of your special favorite 501c3s in this region. Talk of Our Towns airs each Wednesday morning from 9 to 10, and I want to express my appreciation as well to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath and focus on the things that are good in your life and for being grateful for the things that are working well. There will always be things that aren't working well. Focus on those things which are working well, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.